Hello, it's Friday, the 18th of October, the year of our Lord, 2024. We're back. We had a week off. Just the mojo went and it was one of those. So have a week off. But we're back. And so much to talk about. Joining me tonight, we have the wonderful Catherine. We have the gorgeous Christy and the wonderful Christine over in Alabama. Hey, ladies.
Hey
Y'all.
y'all. Evening, Lou. Evening, ladies.
Evening. Hi.
Well, we've got so much to get through tonight. I am just going to do a little plug. Anyone's interested in the magic chair of Clive de Carle's, and you are in the Southwest, London Down, and you would like a session on the magic chair, you can email me info@libertytactics.co.uk or lou@libertytactics.co.uk if you're liking what you're doing and you feel led to do so. You can buy us a coffee, and it's either down below or on the screen. Without further ado, Christy, what you got for us?
Hi, so yes, in the news today, there was an article which was about the National Governance Association, which runs training for schools and governors and also trustees. So the school had been told that they must allow trans teachers to use the same bathrooms. And it also said that anyone can just basically decide on the day if they want that they're a different gender because it's just allowing somebody to have the ability to change their gender and then decide they want to use the bathrooms and the toilets with the female teachers. So the trans teachers should be able to use any bathrooms that they align with. Obviously it's a newly acquired gender identity, it says, then
What about
they should
communal
be.
shower rooms at like swimming pools when you've just got there? They're just kind of open where people, some people strip off. Most people just
Yeah.
have like a shower under, but I mean, in that as well. Ooh.
Yeah, so it's saying showers, it's saying that and toilets that they can use. I mean, I don't know how many teachers actually go to school and shower anyway, to be quite
Yeah,
honest
that's
with
true.
you. But
Yeah.
but I just think they're
It
just trying to.
depends. Sorry, just to jump in a sec there, Chris. It does depend if the school
Okay.
has got a leisure centre, because my dad used to like work at a school which had like badminton, sorry, squash courts and stuff like that. So they have got showers in it. Like not all of them, but the ones with a leisure facility will have showers in them.
Oh, of course, I didn't think of that because
Yeah,
I was just
yeah.
thinking about the local schools by me, and I mean, I suppose if they're the physical education teachers, they
Yeah,
possibly would
definitely.
be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and to use any toilets so they can just basically decide. And so what they're doing is they're trying to use the Equality Act with this. So the Chief Executive of Human Rights, Sex Matters, said this interpretation was incorrect, as nowhere in the Equality Act does it say that men who identify as women have the right to access female toilets and
Sure.
spaces. So there is a lot of backlash against this. So there's going to be a lot of things going on around this because they're trying to push this in. I think they're hoping that people don't notice, we'll put it in and we'll just say it's in the Equality Act.
Yeah,
But
because it's definitely
luckily,
not, is it? You've got nine characteristics. The only one that mentions gender is gender reassignment, and that's if you've had the whole shebang. So if you're a bloke walking in there and going, "I want to identify as a woman today,"
yeah.
that doesn't cover you at all. You've got to have had the gender reassignment. So we're misusing the Equality Act then, Chris. Yeah.
Of course, I
Yeah.
think they're just playing it on now. But luckily, the human rights and sex matters, they've jumped on it straight away. So if they go ahead with this, which they'll probably try, then there's going to be court cases and stuff coming up in the future over this. I can see there's going to be a lot of arguing. But this is what they want. They want to create this chaos with everything, don't they? They're just trying to turn everything upside down and just cause a lot of problems. any which way they can, really. That's how I'm seeing it. So, yeah, so that's it, really. That's it.
So what else have you got?
So, yeah, so Kat knows all about this as well. So at the a couple of days ago, there was somebody I saw on Facebook, and they posted that they'd had an email off the teacher in the school saying that their children was going to come into school on the 18th of October for Blue Nose Day, where they were going to have the heating off in the school. So the children were, in the email, it said the children are to come into school wearing their uniform, but they're not to wear anything like jumpers or, you know, extra things that can be visible. So just put a T-shirt on underneath your shirts and that type of thing. And if you want to put an extra pair of socks on, but still in your uniform and blazer, and we're going to have the heating off for the day as part of, you know, this climate change awareness.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah. Blue Nose Day. So what happened was, so first of all, when I first saw the email, I shared it, and then I had a little bit of a panic because I thought, oh, I've shared this now and actually I haven't really gone looked into it. So I looked into it a bit, and then people were saying, oh, on this person's post, they were trying to say he's making it up and he's made the email himself. And so I was thinking, oh, no, I've shared this now and maybe it isn't right. So I looked into it a bit further, and it was correct. It was right. So a teacher had sent the email out who was a geography teacher. But the way that it sounds is that he's been getting his class involved in this climate change action. And then the class have made a decision. They've chosen to do something, and they chose to do this Blue Nose Day. Apparently, this is what I've heard. So that's why they were going to do it. The way they've worded it is if it was a pupil-led thing, and they decided that it was a good way to raise awareness. So
it raise awareness to making the kids freeze.
I know.
Like, and it's just nonsense.
It is nonsense. Oh. You had people saying, though, oh, you know, well, you know, when we was in school, we didn't have heat. And I said, right, that's not the point. The point of them doing it is because they're pushing the whole climate change crap. That's why they're doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, if it was later on in the winter or whatever, and it was absolutely freezing, do you know what I mean? I can understand. But even for the people who think it's just a little bit soft for us to all go mad about, you know, are they turning the heating off at the beginning of October? Yeah.
That's
not the point. The point is they're doing it to push the whole climate change thing, which is a massive deal. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, as we all know. But they didn't do it in the end, did they, Chris? Because they were too many.
So that's some good news.
Yeah, so they did. So the good news was, yeah, they did then put out a statement because obviously it had gone into the newspapers and it was online, different articles. And they'd sent an email saying they've decided now that parents weren't sort of happy with it. So they're moving it now to the summer, to next year. But they haven't completely cancelled it, but they have at the moment for the winter. But the best bit about this that I have to mention before I move, let you get on with it. So in the morning, I put the telly on for my dog. I know, because I was going out. So I leave the telly on for I just put some background noise on. And I clicked it on and it was Jeremy Vine. And I heard something to do with Blue Nose Day. So I managed to quickly record what he was saying. So I put it on my Facebook. But basically, he tried to make out as if, these parents, they're like one parent complains. He said, what type of a world is this that the schools are listening to one complaint? And he said, I think it was a wonderful idea. And the panel that were with him was saying, oh, it was a wonderful idea, you know, and like as if it'll harm them one day of being cold and stuff.
I mean, we know what Jeremy Vine's like, don't we? We know, we've got plastic. And what's interesting, it's BBC again. And I just watched a Paul Joseph Watson video that he put out today saying that he watched an episode of Doctors, and that's been going 25 years now. And they are turning one of the doctors into the bigot doctor because he's not buying the gender nonsense, and they're trying to send him to classes. And every single other character in the whole of Doctors is ganging up on this one guy and how he needs re-education. And apparently it's the last year of Doctors, so they are chucking everything at it. So they're losing.
Way to go, BBC parents, for standing up.
The BBC are finished.
Yeah. Just one thing that his comment before, this is the last thing now. He said the parents should be made to wear hats so that we can see them come in. That's what he said. In other words, I'm saying the parents are idiots that complained and they should be wearing, I don't know whether he means a tinfoil hat or a dunce's hat, but whatever.
Yeah, that's what he means, definitely, because he's just an idiot, isn't he? Yeah.
So that's it for today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we got to talk Diddy. Obviously, he's been turned down now twice in Southern District of New York Court for bail. He then took his case to the Second Circuit Court, where his lawyers are pleading that, one, that they get all the witnesses' names. They're demanding that you get the witnesses' names. They've put in paperwork and they're demanding the US attorney comes back within 5 days with a response. And the legal amount of time that the other side have to respond is apparently 10 days. So Diddy's lawyers are pushing and pushing and pushing the US attorneys who are taking him down. They're not having any of it. And the judges ruled in favour of the US attorneys that no witnesses' names are going to be released. They're not, you know, Diddy cannot throw his weight around. It's not going to happen. So it's being taken very, very seriously right now. We've now had One Direction boy bander Liam Payne falling from a balcony to his death. Now, Liam Payne was, I think, 13 when he went and auditioned for The X Factor. And one of the people who gave him a yes was Cheryl Cole from the band Girls Aloud, who was 23. He was 13. Yeah, she was 10 years older than him, 23 at the time. Well, she obviously went on to have a child with Liam. And that split up. His ex-girlfriend has recently been online saying he blows up her phone constantly. She's having to put a restraining order on him. And then the following day, he's dead. Now, clips are resurfacing from a Graham Norton show where he's sitting on the couch with David Walliams and Salma Hayek. And he starts telling the story of when he met P. Diddy, when Jay-Z and Leonardo DiCaprio were there. And he said it was a very awkward moment. Diddy just held his hand for way too long and weird eye contact. He got pushed away when he went to say hello to Jay-Z. And he said, Diddy Petrus. And what I found interesting was the look as he was talking about them from David Walliams and specifically Salma Hayek, who was like looking back and down her nose at him. So
well,
I don't know if it's,
we know is the queen of Balenciaga.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
She's married exactly. She's to Balenciaga.
But who knows? Further investigation is going to be going. I don't know anything about One Direction at all. I think my daughter liked one of them for about a week, but I don't know anything about them. We have to watch this space. It is very weird. His hotel room was smashed up. The video that was done a day or two before, he's constantly looking over his shoulder like, is someone going to come up behind him when he's sitting in a bay window? Who knows? But I do believe all this stuff that's coming out with Diddy is the public are very shocked because a lot of the stories that, well, not stories, cases that are being put into the courts are shocking. Gang rapes, we've had four done by Busby, I do believe, have gone in, talking about gang rapes, all of them being drugged, threats of violence, and some horrible details are coming out. I do believe this is preparing the public for what goes out regarding the satanic ritual abuse that went on underneath the island and many, many, many other places where the most disgusting things apparently went on. And I think this is preparing the public. I could be wrong, but there's still a lot of unsealing that needs to be done in regards to Epstein. We know that. Is this preparing the public for the release of the Epstein files? I don't know. But this brings me into Kat. You sent me a message earlier. It was a voice note. And you sounded really low. You didn't say too much, but you had a weird experience this afternoon. And it's kind of linking to satanic ritual abuse. Well, maybe not abuse, but the dark arts. What you got?
Yeah, so obviously I write my statuses about the times I have in the sauna, because you know what I'm like. You know, when I'm down in the sauna where I've just joined the gym and whatever, I've been having some brilliant conversations about what's going on in the world, you know, the reality of it, especially in regards to the children. You know, I haven't gone down that dark route, but talking about, well, I have in a way, talking about the education, what's going on, and, you know, everyone's sort of engaged and I'm kind of spreading the word, you know, and I've met some lovely people down there, a great guy the other day called Gareth, an ex-vet who's been awake since 2005 when he got back from Iraq, you know, and we had some brilliant chats. Anyway, about a week and a half ago, I was in there and there was a guy in there who was talking about witchcraft and stuff. And he didn't tell me at the time that he was a Satanist, but he was saying all, you know, that he deals, you know, he speaks to demons, he does all psychic readings and tarot and all that sort of stuff. And we had a bit of an uncomfortable conversation last time, but nothing sort of bad. And he had said, thank you for not judging, because I told him I was a Christian. So he said, thank you for not judging me like Christians do usually. And I said, well, you're not a Christian. So I'm not, you know, as a Christian, I can righteously judge other Christians, but I got no business judging you who's not a Christian. Anyway, that was that. And there was another bloke that I used to speak to. So, you know, we've had conversations about the education and whatever. Separately, I've spoken to these guys. They haven't been together. Anyway, today I go in the sauna and they're both in there, just those two. So I sat up on the top and I was quiet as a mouse. I didn't say a word. Now, bearing in mind, they both know these men, big, hard, grown, fully grown men, a lot bigger than me, right? They both knew that I was a Christian because I've spoken to them separately on separate occasions. They knew that. And then they started sort of talking about, they were on about some guy who was obviously a Christian and they were saying, oh, you know, he's really narrow-minded and shallow and whatever, that's not my business. Then they started, especially the guy who's into the occult, started really having a go at a pop at Christians, right? And he was really going for it. And I still didn't say anything until he said, he put his head down, like over his knees, and he said, those Christians that go to church and judge people are CUNTs, or Christians are CUNTs, or something like that go to church. And at that point, I'd had enough, and I was like, well, I go to church. So we started, right? Now, I say we started, and as soon as I defended myself, they both jumped on me, right? They were both like, oh, you're just judging, blah, blah, blah. I went, hang on a minute. I said, I'm not judging anyone. I said, I haven't said anything. You were the one to judge Christians by calling them CUNTs. I said, before I even said a word. And then I said, and actually, as a Christian, I said, I'm able to judge other Christians righteously through the whole, you know, through as God would in, you know, if it's righteous. It's not my business to judge you. And he said, yeah, well, I'm a Satanist, I'm a Luciferian. And he actually said these words to me, black magician, occultist and whatever. So I was trying to say, okay, so you understand. I said, so, because he mentioned Aleister Crowley as well last time, and he tried to tell me he didn't do anything with kids. I said, oh no, let me stop you there. He did do stuff with children and animals. And he was talking about all this sex magic and how you've got to use it properly and whatever. So that was the uncomfortable one last time. So I kind of knew that he was into all that stuff anyway. So he was going, it was almost like they were goading me into it. And then they both, you know, when I reacted then, they gaslit me, both of them, right? So anyway, he's losing his temper with me, the one. And I said, look, what about Alice Bailey? I said, if you're into the occult, because he'd openly told me he was an occultist, if you're into the occult, then you'll know about Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey. Oh, it's nothing to do with them. I said, what are you on about? I said, Helena Blavatsky was the one who started the Theosophical Society. Oh, you haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Oh, sorry, no, before this had happened, sorry to go back, it was just like all a bit thingy. Before I said anything, the one guy was blowing smoke up his bum, to be honest, right? So this guy who's an occultist said he's initiated higher than Aleister Crowley, right? So he said to this guy, oh, you must be jealous because nobody can get, you know, nobody can touch me because I'm really high. Like, talk about ego. It was just beyond anything I'd ever heard. That was before he called Christian C-U-N-Ts, right? So anyway, I'm trying to explain to Helena Blavatsky about Alice Bailey's 10-point plan. And the other guy goes to me, well, what's your point? I said, my point is, number one of that plan, which she was an occultist and she pushed Luciferianism, by the way. So if you don't know who she is, I don't even know what you're on about. Do you know what I mean? So distance yourself from these people who had everything to do with it is a bit weird, especially when you were on about Aleister Crowley last time. He changed his mind a bit. Anyway, I said, number one was take God and prayer out of the education system. And the guy, he couldn't really say anything because we've had this conversation before separately in the sauna. And he went, yeah. I went, exactly. I said, if you haven't got a moral compass, you delve into immorality. I said, you can't tell me now, you look around and there's we're living in a moral society. And do you know what? He stood up at that point, the guy, and he went, you're too loud and you're not letting anyone speak. I'm leaving. With respect, he said, I'm leaving. And he walked out. Now, bearing in mind, I wasn't able to talk. They were both shouting at me, right? So he completely gaslit me. So he walked out anyway, left the occultist there. And he was telling me I didn't know what I was on about because I haven't been initiated high enough and whatever. He said, he talks to demons and he knows there's no such thing as hell, no such thing. He said, and I've spoken to Jesus. I went, are you sure that's Jesus? And that really, really knocked him off. He got really irritated with me and he said, you haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Walked out, slammed the door. So I'm left on my own in the sauna feeling really quite... Not, I held my own and I didn't shout. I was the calmest out of the three of us in there, right? But I still felt really shaken and quite sick by it. And I was in the sauna, so it was hot. But then they both sat right outside. So they would shout, they were having a go at me for judging, even though I never judged them. In fact, I told them I wasn't able to judge them because they've obviously chosen their path or whatever, and they're not Christians, for 15 minutes and had a conversation about me right outside the door. Basically slating me, slating Christians, mocking me, saying I didn't have a clue what I was talking about, and I, you know, I'm not intelligent enough, and I'm nowhere near the level of, the level of knowledge they've got. Proper slating me, mind, for like 15 minutes, and out judging and whatever I was. And I got up after 15 minutes when I finished in the sauna. I walked out. I faced them both. I said, for the record, they both just sat in their chairs grinning at me, right? I said, for the record, I said, I didn't say a single word. I said, you're talking about me judging you. I didn't say a single word until you called church going Christians C-U-N-T's. So who's, and I said, and then you proceed to leave the room, come out here and judge me and other Christians for 15 minutes solid. I said, who's doing the judging you? And they both laughed and I just went, I'll grow up, and walked off and had a shower. But when I left that place, then I was like, honestly, I wanted to cry. I did. I don't know what it was. I held my own in there and whatever, but that whole scenario and a lot more went on than that. It was just made me feel, I don't know. It was.
Well, it was intimidation as well. There. Yeah,
quite bullying. Do you know what I mean? I was on my own in there, and like I say, I've spoken to them both separately, and they both knew. So why did they do that? That had me thinking. Then, like, they both knew. Now, if they hadn't spoken to him before, right? Fair enough. I still would have felt uncomfortable. But I wouldn't, do you know what I mean? They wouldn't have known at that point that I was Christian, but they both knew. So they both, do you know what I mean? So it was like, oh, it was like these real, and because the one was blowing smoke up the other one's rectum, do you know what I mean? Making him believe that he actually said that to me, mind. He's more highly initiated than Aleister Crowley. He said that to me. I was like, wow.
Well, you are. I want to bring Christine in. I want to be Christine in.
Yeah, Christine, please.
Well, I'm going to read a cease and desist. And I think that this is what we need right now. It's so interesting. I'm going to skip a few things. If you remember in Jude 1, 14 and 15, God said...
Go, you're a bit muffled, Christine. Go near the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm in Jude 1, 14 and 15, where it's also in Enoch, and it says, "Behold, the Lord is coming with myriads of his holy ones to execute judgment on everyone and to convict the ungodly." So just know that you stood your ground, and I am so proud of you, Kat, and God's not done, and you will see his righteous judgment soon. And I pray that both of them get saved, delivered, full of the Holy Spirit, and are able to shout and sing his praises soon and turn everybody they've turned towards Satan to Jesus. That's my prayer. And I know God can do anything. I know he puts us in a time of, we are in a time of warfare right now. This spiritual battle is really weighty and very heavy on a lot of us. And it seems that those warriors that are out there telling the truth and sharing the gospel and trying to recover from our own stuff, you know, we've all got trauma in one way or another. And the enemy is just stirring up everything he can right now. He is in his death throes and he is scared. And I think that's what you're seeing is fear. And it comes off.
I think you need the full armor of God.
Yeah. It comes
full armor of God before you go out.
You definitely need to put the full armor of God on. Ephesians 6. You put on, in fact, we'll do it right now. In the name of Jesus, we put on his salvation for our helmet, his righteousness for our breastplate, his truth as the belt around our waist, on our feet, the readiness to spread the gospel of peace. We take up the shield of faith to put out all the fiery arrows of the evil one. And we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to fight temptation like Jesus did. Glory, hallelujah. We are completely Amen. Covered, and the glory of the Lord is our rear guard. So he's got you. You're covered, you're protected, and I am so proud of you for just standing your ground.
Amen. And
you're
right.
They're coming out the woodwork.
They are. I know it's going to happen. It really did make me feel like I don't even want to go. And I was like, no. I paid for that gym as well. I'm just, next time I'm just going to make sure I pray a lot before I go out. Do you know what I mean?
And put the full armor of God in on before you go in. The full armor of God.
Absolutely. Yeah. Put your armor on. But then when you go, Kat, get some anointing oil. Olive oil, if you have nothing else. Get some anointing oil. And everywhere you go, anoint the ground you're walking on. Everywhere your shoe hits, you're taking ground for Christ. So as you go to the sauna, put a little oil in there on your fingertips and just touch it and say, God, in the name of Jesus, I claim this territory for you.
Yeah.
And you take it back in the spirit. They have no power. They have no authority. You did.
Well, they both walked out before I did, even if I did feel.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
go, girl.
And they did come back. So I went, I went in the sort of steam room then. And then as I was in there, they both came together. They both came in. And as soon as they came in, I walked out because I just thought, you know what? I'm not even going with it. Do you know what I mean? Like they were mocking me.
It's
and whatever. Took myself out of the situation then. The other time it was a bit more, you know, I'd only just gone in there type of thing. And, you know, I wasn't leaving basically. And I wasn't even arguing with them. But they both got really angry with me, gaslit me and walked out and then proceeded to slate me for 15 minutes and say that I was judging them,
well,
which
it's kind
I find weird that they just say that it's judging. As soon as you disagree with it or defend yourself, they say you're judging them. How on earth was I judging them by saying I go to church?
It's because they feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to say it. The Holy Spirit is convicting them. Just because you're there and your angels are surrounding you and protecting you, and they're not going to feel easy around you ever. They're never going to feel comfortable around you because you have something they don't.
Yeah. Well, I've learned my lesson there anyway. I think that needed to happen for me to understand, you know.
Yeah.
And I do feel better now, but I'm not going. So if it happens, you know, I'm a bit more prepared next time, a bit more protected.
Wow. So wild. I think you did a great job.
Thanks. Thank
you. Right, Christine, you're going to carry on with more of the Diddy stuff.
And
then you're going to give us some good news to close the show.
Go. I'm going to start with some of the heaviest, darkest, nastiest stuff first. There's a lot of talk about these SRA survivors, and I've been watching a lot of them and diving into some of their stories. And obviously we all know about MK Ultra and how it creates dissociative identity disorder in people, which means that they fragment your mind and you literally create alters that store memories that only come up when that alter comes up. Okay, that's how they program this, and that's how they've done so much of this. So I was watching Jag on Sean Atwood. I'll start with her. And she spilled a lot of tea, and I will share that interview in the links. Sorry.
I love the way you say she spilled a lot of tea.
Oh my gosh, she let it go.
You're so hip hop.
It was so funny. She was talking about how, you know, somebody asked, well, you know, how do you know all this? And she said, I was there. I was into BDSM and dominatrix. I know everything because I was there. And she talked about a judge that she used to see that would come to her and ask her to whip him because he just put an innocent man in jail and he knew it. And he did it on purpose. And he felt bad, but there's nothing he could do. It was the orders he was given, and he just wanted her to beat him. So she did. And she went on to speak about Mary J. Blige being Diddy's handler, basically, for the longest, and terrorizing others as a rite of passage. She was a closet lesbian. Apparently, she was 24 when Danny was 16. I'm not sure who Danny is, but someone she abused. She spied on Cassie. And, you know, it's crazy. She talked
about Mary J. Blige. Album on the 411, she's just incredible. It's gutting.
Yeah. She talked about Diddy's kids, and she said, pray for Quincy because he has nothing to do with this mess. But Justin and Christian are emulating the devil. She said those two are nothing but trouble. She's praying that Justin Bieber comes forward before they come after him. And then she started talking about Allie Carter, who is one of the SRA survivors I'm following. And she said that, you know, they're trying to silence her, and keep her in your prayers because there's a lot going on with her. She moved on to the Kardashians, who she called witches, and said, you do know Kris Jenner films Kim having all these sexcapades. Kris Jenner is the one filming it. If you want to start talking how deep, dark, and evil this is, what mother would film someone doing your child like that? That's so disgusting.
Anyway, did you hear that Diddy was asking to have sex with the new wife's mother just before they got married? And apparently that's the thing. Apparently, yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah. All in the
And
family.
We know Diddy's mother was at the Freakoffs and that she wore the white nail varnish. I mean, what?
She was there with not only Diddy, but his sons. So you've got three generations at one Freakoff. I'm sorry, but yeah, that's how deep, dark, and disturbing this gets. And they all had to have
Justin Bieber went round all of them, didn't he? Justin Bieber went round all of the Kardashians and probably Kris Jenner as well.
Well, Justin Bieber was a victim.
Completely.
In all of this total. Yeah, he was just a baby. We watched that happen. But she did throw Oprah, Corey Gamble, and Clive Davis under the bus as pure evil. She said, if you want to know the truth about Kim Porter, talk to Albie Schur. Because Cassie and Kim met before her passing. And she said there was a burner phone, a laptop, and a thumb drive there. And that Kim was very, very smart when it came to knowing how to get information from one place to another. She said pieces of her book are true, but she also thinks a lot of it is being steered towards the public for what they want you to know, not what they don't want you to know. So take some of that with a grain of salt. And then I'm going to skip to the leader of Hamas is dead, and I'm just excited about that, so thank you, Jesus. Now for the Ali Carter update. She was talking a lot about DID, dissociative identity disorder, and MKUltra, how our memory discrepancies and missing memories, and like she has over 200 alters, and for every trauma that you've been through, you'll have an alter, and that alter holds those memories. But she was talking about the trap houses that they would take her to, and that she walked into one and it, the whole house.
Sorry, what are trap houses? Sorry, what are trap houses?
A trap house is where they do these awful things. And they bring victims to these houses.
Okay.
To literally trap them in a situation. Okay, so there were, in this one house, there were baby cribs everywhere, baby cribs. And in the baby cribs were very lifelike infant sex dolls, infant to toddlers, okay? She was made to wear a onesie to this event and suck a pacifier, which had drugs in it. And what they do is they use your past trauma to bring up the alter that they want to deal with. And so they brought up her trauma as a baby so that this idiot could rape a baby, but it be her. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, and then she talked about the dead people house and how there are dead people fetishes where they bring you into an ice cold house and use ice in private parts and you're supposed to act dead. And that's, and you were talking
this
about.
This is just the lowest, the deviant depravity. It's just unbelievable.
And this is happening though. This has happened to this girl. You know, and I know we've been saying it. It's been saying it for 12 years. These subjects are uncomfortable, but they have to be heard. They've got
they
to be told.
They have to be.
This girl, Ali, and there are so many more and more girls. There's another girl who's just been on a podcast explaining that she was, you know, she was a whore. She was used at a Diddy party. And it explains her story as well. And Ali Carter, I mean, what her and her, it's not her biological mum, but her mum
adopted
have gone
mom.
Through fleeing the country, running around. And, you know, when you say about the MK Ultra, I always think back to Kathy O'Brien. I don't know if you've read Transformation of America.
Absolutely. I watched interviews with her and they were hours long. And in fact, it was when I watched a documentary, and that was really hard, and it must have been about 10 years ago, and I don't even know what it was called, but basically it was the process of how they break the baby's mind and able to, so they can program it, and the things they would do, like, you know, give the baby complete full-on love for 6 months and then rip it away from them and then see which ones would not cry when you hit the unbelievable. And that was about 10 years ago, and I watched Kathy O'Brien having an interview with someone, I don't know who it was, that was a long time ago as well, and those interviews were, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours long. So I'm guessing she's got books out as well then, is she? Or a book?
Oh, her book, The Transformation of America, tells her complete story. Yeah. I mean, and they've given a talk, and she was married. What was his name? Was it Bill she was married to? And he was the one who actually saved her and got her away and her daughter away from these people. But she was taken too. She was taken.
It was her husband that was involved in it, or was that her first husband or something?
First husband. No, this is the guy who saved her. He ended up rescuing her and her daughter Kelly. But I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, we've all seen the Andrew Bossy. Is it Andrew Bossy? In Australia. Is his name Andrew Bossy? No, it's not. Ricardo Bossy, Australia First. Where there are videos of organ harvesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrific. Yeah. But these sort of things go along with the depravity of what children and babies are going through, right? And then it leads to the children on the floors of these places.
And it's happening in your neighborhoods, and it's happening under your feet, and it's happening all around you. And we have to open our eyes to this. You have to open your ears. That child that you hear screaming and crying all the time, what is that really about? When was the last time anybody went and knocked on a door to find out?
I know down here, I mean, we've also got a major problem with social services. So if there's a kid just crying and it's innocent and people go and start reporting, the whole thing is social services come in and grab children.
Social services is 100% involved in all of this.
Of course.
Allie was a foster child. She was in the system and trafficked from there, missing for 3 years. No one ever thought to ask where she was. 3 years.
It's awful, isn't it? Talking to social services, just slightly, I shared a post earlier, I'll just read it to you, it's only short, listen to this, listen to how heartbreaking this is, right? It is a little bit off topic, but it's about social services. Just thought I would let you know this, just in case it means anything for anyone. I go to boot sales and have done for over 2 decades. I often buy office type stuff. Twice this has happened. I have had social services old files, which they probably believed were empty. I now own 2 sets of letters that children wrote to their parents, and the parents were not given these heartbreaking letters, and the files were discarded. It makes you wonder. So these little kids have tried to write to their parents, and they've never got them. They didn't send them.
Isn't
that heartbreaking? Like I say, I know it was taken away for a bit, but just another example of what social services can be like, you know? Awful.
Yeah. Very sad.
Sorry, Christine. Karen, continue with Ali.
Well, she really went into a lot, and they are currently living in their car and just going from place to place. And she is not interested in coming on podcast or anything like that. She's putting something out on, you can follow her at aliesarmy.com. If you're interested in her story. But she said, when it comes time to vote, you better vote for the children and truth. You better vote for the children and truth. Because, you know, she said, if you want to know the difference in traffickers, pimps, and Johns, Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, that's a sex trafficker. Diddy, that's a pimp. Epstein was a John turned him. So see how they do this. And it all goes back, you guys. This all goes back to what Candace Owens and Ian Carroll have been talking about with this MK Ultra, like Charles Manson.
We've
all
been talking people. About it for decades here.
Yeah,
it's, you know,
absolutely.
Kids, all, you know, the politicians, like
Kamala
Jimmy
Harris.
Savile.
Yeah. And Macron, Obama, Tim Walz, all of them, they're CIA operatives.
Well, there's been a report with Tim Walz. Today.
Yeah.
He's been, there was somebody who was, he was a pupil of Tim Walz and he was SA'd.
Yeah.
By Tim Walz.
Yeah.
And do you know what? This is just a little fact. Child sex trafficking has more than tripled under Biden and Harris.
Absolutely. Thank you, open border.
Disgusting. Yeah, open border. That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Disgusting. So disgusting. So we need to pray for these kids, but we need to do more than pray for them. We need to really keep our eyes and ears to the ground and be aware of our surroundings. And there is that international sign with the palm up and then the thumb in, the four fingers over it, you know, which means I need help, like, save me.
Yeah,
so
I know what you mean. Yeah,
we need to teach our children that, and we need to, yeah, it just, it goes all over me. So let me bring us to some good news. Andrew Whalen just today was on Elijah's streams talking about a dream he had, and he saw a lady that he knows named Sandy Newman, and then he heard "I'm coming" message on the wall. And when he woke up the next morning, he literally woke up to a text message from this Sandy Newman inviting him to an event, which he was like, okay, God, what are you up to, right? So God started speaking to him about Daniel 5 and the message on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, parson. You have been weighed and found wanting." And he said over the next couple of days as he was preparing to go to this event, he kept hearing the Lord say, "Injunction." And he was like, "What is that about, Lord, injunction?" And he knew that it basically meant stop the action or cease and desist, like a cease and desist order. And he said that Satan's kingdom will fall, and God, for such a time as this to be here, regardless of how tough it is, regardless of what you're going through and how tight things are, trust and believe, I get it, but we have been chosen for this moment to demand the enemy cease and desist. Let go of our children in the name of Jesus. We're not going to tolerate this anymore. We're going to stand up to our governments. We're going to stand up to our schools. We will stand and occupy until he comes. And we are bringing the kingdom of God to earth. And what was so funny, heaven and earth are lining up. There was a million women march on Washington, D.C., just a few days ago, and they destroyed the altar of Ishtar. If you guys didn't see that, it was amazing, absolutely amazing. But evil will not have his way. It's not going to happen. And when I heard him say cease and desist, I was like, wait a minute, Trump put out a cease and desist order not long ago, just a few weeks ago, and he was talking about, that same thing, he mentioned it too. Trump said, cease and desist. I, together with many attorneys and legal scholars, am watching the sanctity of the 2024 election very closely, because I know better than most the rampant cheating and skullduggery that has taken place by the Democrats in the 2020 presidential election. It was a disgrace to our nation. Therefore, the 2024 election, where votes have just started being cast and will, under the closest professional scrutiny, and when I win, those people that cheated will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, which will include long-term prison sentences, so that this depravity of justice does not happen again. We cannot let our country further devolve into a third world nation, and we won't. Please beware that this legal exposure extends to lawyers, political operatives, donors, illegal voters, and corrupt election officials. Those involved in unscrupulous behavior will be sought out, caught, and prosecuted at levels, unfortunately, never before seen in history. Ooh. So guess what? I think enough is enough, and we've about had enough, y'all.
Yeah.
And I think it's time. Yeah, it's time to start calling the devil down. It's time, just like Kat did in that sauna. She could have just picked up her towel and run, but she didn't. She sat there, she took it, she listened, and she fought back. And I am so proud of you for that. So props to you. We're going to win this thing. God wins, and so do we. And I will not accept anything less than that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I just want to say, if anyone, has anybody been following Candace Owens and her exposure of Kamala Harris? There is no...
It's beautiful.
...in Kamala Harris anywhere. Honestly, she did the great stuff on Macron and how his wife became a man whilst grooming him as a young boy. And she's now... spoken to Kamala's family, the women in the book that she says is her grandparents and great grandparents are not.
No, this is what they do. And there is no way
she has been created for this. The mother was involved with all these human rights back in the 60s, all the human rights protests and all that. You know where that leads. She was also involved. It's so dark. She's been installed. It's not going to happen. Trump destroyed her last night at a dinner that they
that was go, so that fun.
Presidents go to and nominations and running mates. They all go to this dinner and she didn't go with either. Neither did Waltz. They didn't turn up. He's going to win. It's going to be a knock-on effect. It's going to be a dominoes. It's going to fall and this is going to fall. We've just got to buckle up, put on the full armor of God, and we'll be okay. We've got to just pray and look after those we love and others and spread the word of Jesus Christ. Hello? Everyone's on silent now.
We agree 100%. Sorry, we're all muted. But yes,
okay,
that's
any sorry. Final words? Any final words from anyone?
Just keep fighting, I'm just going to say. You know, I agree with what Christine said as well. You know, it's time to call it out now, isn't it? You know, there's lots of things going on and we just got to stand firm and stand strong with our armour of God on. And that's what's happening. I'm going to put it on all the time.
Yeah. It's important to keep the faith. And I'm telling you, the enemy is doing everything he can right now to shake our faith. To knock us off of our firm foundation. He is doing everything in his power, but it's because he's in panic mode and he's in his death throes and he knows that he does not win. Yeah. And he's doing everything. They are all doing all they can to hang on to power and it's gone. They don't have it. They don't have it. God won and so do we.
Christine. Thank you, ladies. Been great. Loved listening to you all. Thank you. And God bless.
God bless. I'm going to be talking to Richard Vobes on Monday. We're going to have a little catch up, see what's going on in the world with Richard Vobes. And we'll probably have some more interviews later in the week. If you want to know more about the magic chair, you can email Lou at libertytactics.co.uk. You can go to Kat's website, exposingthelie.com. Christy's on Facebook as Christy Tucker. And you can catch Christine at Q Team Awesome on True Social. And Jason Nota, who should be back next week, is running TikTok at Liberty Tactics. So that's it. LibertyTactics.co.uk. Good night and God bless.
Good night. God bless everyone.
Night all. Have a great night.
Good night.